Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now exactly 12 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bahman. I will be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Mawlana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we take this opportunity of greeting all our listeners at Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Marana.
Marana, in our, just to do a quick recap, that we completed the introduction of our new topic that we're going to expand on. We mentioned that we're going to speak about the interactions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with various different people. And we also mentioned about who we're going to expand with, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with the youth, how he interacted with the old people, how he interacted with sinners, how he interacted with pious people. But before that, what we did was we gave a brief summary of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the characteristics of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the different qualities that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, so we can understand who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was and what position Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held in society. Last week we explained about the piety of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit the ill, how he used to use the right hand for good things, the left hand when relieving himself, the cleanliness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some deeds Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did in a particular way. We mentioned that there's no prohibition of it if it's done in another way. Then we mentioned the three different categories. Then the other one was certain deeds were requested or instructed us to do, and this will go under recommendations and obligatory categories. And then deeds particular to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to continuously fast. He had more than four wives. This was only for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we discussed about the deeds, acts of worship, then deeds that a person has to refrain. We did the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform a certain thing. Then no one narrated any hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that showed that it wasn't done. It's conclusive that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do that. And we also mentioned about the sound morals of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sound behavior by ways of example. And sincere we are, devoted are we. And we mentioned about the Quranic ayat that Allah mentions, "Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabiy, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima." Well, today we are going to start with the interactions with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with various people, and we're going to start with those who are closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first, like the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana, how are we going to go about how are we going to address this section?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazakumullah for that lovely introduction, Mawlana. And as of today, I think maybe we will call this session of ours that we will be doing every Wednesday, Living Islam.
Gigi.
How do we live as Muslims by emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This first part of it is the interactions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he dealt with his family, his relatives, and those around him. And under this, insha'Allah, there are various categories of people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with. And the ones that we are going to be talking about will be how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with his wives, how he dealt with children, how he dealt with grandchildren, how he dealt with his relatives, the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his neighbors, the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his guests and his host. And also, insha'Allah, we will be discussing how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with his close companions. This in a nutshell is the various discussions that we will have under this session, inshallah.
Inshallah. So Mawlana, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we mentioned that he had to maintain a healthy, mutual, fulfilling and harmonious relation with his wife, his treatments, all this considered. Mawlana, maybe we can go into detail, because in today's time we see what the vacuum that is happening. So many divorce cases and that is because of our communication with our spouses is not done in a correct way. And we know Nabi Sassam was the perfect example. So, Mark, just we can go through how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interacted with his wife. So, this taken as an example. Maybe many of us that are listening, if we are going through any of this, we can just take this and use it maybe just to broaden our minds, and it will help us in a long way.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the introduction, and the first session that we will discuss, Malana, is that how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with his wives. We all know that the home is the nucleus of a community, is the nucleus of a society. And inshallah, if the relationship in the home between spouses is rectified, it's good, inshallah, all benefit and goodness will follow from it. And as an introduction, I felt that this might be the first section that we will deal with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, maintained healthy, mutually fulfilling, and a harmonious relationship with his wives. His relationship with his wives was a healthy one. It was mutually fulfilling. In other words, both him and his wives enjoyed this healthy relationship, this harmonious relationship, and his treatment of them has been considered exemplary of all times. Upon studying the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon studying the various narrations in the various ahadith regarding the relationships of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wives, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very kind. He was extremely tolerant towards his wives. They could not envisage life without him. Because of his kindness towards them, because of his tolerance towards them, they could not imagine a life without him. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the choice to be released, and we will get there inshallah, There was an occasion where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam separated from his wives. And when he separated from his wives, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran Kareem, and he revealed that they should be given a choice. So even when they were given the choice to be released from the matrimonial bond, from the marriage due to their strained or straitened circumstances, because of his generosity, because of his kindness, because of his consideration and compassion, we find that they chose to live with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among his relationship with his family, was that he consulted them when making decisions, and he took their advice. Now here we find that he is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is guided by divine revelations. Yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consults with his wives. Yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes their advice in making decisions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged people through his enlightening words, and through his ahadith and the prophetic narrations and traditions, to behave kindly to women, and declared that the most perfect of believers is the best of them in character, and the one who is kindest to his family. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith have mentioned two characteristics. The one is that the best of believers is the one who is best in character. And then in addition to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged one to be kind to his family. Now following the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam costs us nothing. It only earns us reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important for us to keep in mind, that when we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it doesn't cost us anything. However, the tremendous reward that we earn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond one's imagination. And together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way will be that our life will be filled with love and happiness. And that's one of the reasons why we have chosen this as the first section that we are going to discuss how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with his wives. If we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, the benefits will be that it will cost us nothing, we will earn great reward, and most importantly, our short life in this world will be filled with happiness and love. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam provided humanity were the most equitable and humane laws to build family relationships and to cement them with feelings of mutual love. This is something that is lacking in homes today. Family relationships, the cementing of good feelings and mutual love, the cementing of affection and kindness. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam provided us with the most humane laws to build family relationships, to cement them with feelings of mutual love, affection, kindness. And the way of Rasulullah, they have taken into consideration the natural instincts of both husband and wife and given them appropriate and reasonable opportunities to obtain this satisfaction of our natural desires within the lawful ties of marriage and forbidden all possible sources of temptation and also means of gratification of oneself outside the fortress of marriage. Since we are talking about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wives, since we are talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marriage life, I think it would be important for us just to talk a little bit about marriage. Because one of the purposes of the institution of nikah is to safeguard our chastity, to safeguard our honor, and to safeguard our own self-respect. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam provided us with such laws that we build family relationships, and together with that we also build mutual love and affection and kindness. And if we have this mutual love, and if we have this kindness, and if we have this affection in our own homes, then there will not be a need to go and search for this outside the home. And therefore the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has taken into consideration the natural instincts of both husband and wife, of both man and woman. And even the life of Rasulullah has given us an appropriate, reasonable guidelines to obtain this satisfaction that is a natural instinct in us to fulfill those desires within the lawful ties of marriage. And at the same time, it has forbidden and put a stop and a barrier from all possible sources of temptation and also means of finding gratification of this outside the fortress of marriage. At the same time, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has tried to protect the lawful interests of both parties, that means of the husband and the wife, who are in wedlock, on a basis of justice, without favoring any one party, and provided such beautiful and sufficient safeguards against the exploitation and aggression by any other party. If you look at our lives today, there are two major issues in most of our relationships. The one is the temptations from outside the home, which draws us towards fulfilling that basic natural instinct desire that we have outside our homes. And at the same time, the laws of Rasulullah, the way of Rasulullah, provides for us a means of fulfilling that in a mutually affectionate, loving home. Now, if we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, we will not need to fulfill that outside the wedlock. Together with that, we also find that the laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah, the interaction of Rasulullah with his wife sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhinna ajma'in, and all Allah's blessings and peace be upon Rasulullah, and may Allah be pleased with all his wives who are our mothers, that their interaction with Rasulullah was such that Rasulullah laid such a beautiful example that was fair, equitable and just for both parties. And this is an amazing way of safeguarding the husband and safeguarding the wife from any form of exploitation, any form of aggression against any other one. Therefore, it has made every effort. The sunnah of Rasulullah, the life of Rasulullah, the practice of Rasulullah has made every effort to enable husband and wife, spouses, to lead a good and peaceful life in marriage. In spite of all efforts, both parties, husband and wife, find it impossible to live together as husband and wife, in spite of all efforts. Today we find many homes, they find it impossible to live together as husband and wife. But the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the way to leave the fortress of marriage without injuring or harming the interests or feelings of any party. In this matter also, it has treated both husband and wife equally with justice and benevolence. In other words, the laws that guide us in our marriage, both of them are equipped with the proper means to leave the marital relationship with mutual agreement or through the intervention of Islamic Sharia laws, thus giving full consideration to the interests in marriage and in separation. Now, this part that I've just spoken of now, that it is natural that it's not always possible, as much as one would like to always live together, there may be occasions where things just can't work out. And when it does not work out, and unfortunately we're seeing such an increase in the rate of divorce that it's actually frightening. But the beautiful way of Islam and the beautiful ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has even, subhanallah, addressed this, that in spite of all efforts, if the two parties find it impossible to live together as husband and wife, the Sharia, the Sunnah, has given us a way to leave this marriage without injuring or harming or the interests or feelings of anyone. And it's very important that when we have to separate, we need to keep this in mind, that we don't separate on the basis of injuring, harming the interests and feelings of each other. In this matter also, we find that the Sunnah and the way of Rasulullah treated both husband and wife equally with justice, and most importantly with benevolence, kindness, mercy. And in doing this, both are equipped with the proper means to leave their marital relationship with such mutual agreement or through the intervention of Sharia that it gives full consideration to the interest of both husband and wife, whether it's in marriage or whether it's in separation, without unduly burdening either of them against their natural desires. Subhanallah. And this is what this session of ours will be addressing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to take him as the exemplar in whose footsteps we should follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, that there is indeed a beautiful model for you in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the one who has hope in Allah and the one who has hope on the last day and who remembers Allah profusely. This section of the ayah where there is a beautiful example for us, for who? For those who believe in Allah, for those who have hope in Allah, for those who understand the concept of accountability on the day of Qiyamah, that we will be standing before Allah and we will be answerable for our deeds. And if you want to pass on that day, the way to follow in this world will be the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, all of us as Muslims, each one of us, in accordance to our own position, must know, we must know, and I'm repeating it, all of us as Muslims, each one of us according to our own positions, we must know about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to be able to emulate him. A husband cannot afford not to know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A ruler cannot afford not to know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was just, who was extremely just when ruling. A leader, and each one of us are leaders in our homes, cannot afford not to know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a sterling example in his leadership. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a leading example in the manner he dealt with his wives. A beacon of light that guides people to the best way of treating their wives, which would reflect on their marital life and on the community as a whole. Consequently, this discussion of ours will focus on the aspect of the marital life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he dealt with his wives.
Shimana. Just that we are dealing with the marital life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if we can get, like, you know, a few examples of the marital life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just for us to understand what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marital life was like.
Yes, Maulana, it is among the best way of learning the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the examples, and that's what the ayah says, Uswa Hasana. And we will give some examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marital life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 11 wives, namely Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Aisha bint Abu Bakr, Hafsa bint Umar, Sauda bint Zam'a al-Amiriyya, Zainab bint al-Jahsh al-Asadiyya, Zainab بنت خزيمة الحلالية أم سلمة هند بن أبو أمية المخزومية أم حبيبة رملة بنت أبو سفيان الأوامية ميمونة بنت الحارث الحلالية جويرية بنت الحارث المستلقية and صفية بنت حوي الناظرية. May Allah be pleased with all of them, رضوان الله تعالى عليهن أجمعين. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away whilst being married to 9 of them. However, Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu ta'ala anha died before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived an extremely joyful life with all his pure wives. They were all beloved to him, which reflected a practical example to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, in Surah Nisa, ayah number 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in kindness. This was reflected in the practical example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life with his wives. He lived with them in kindness. Now, kindness here is a general term, ma'roof, the word. It's a general term that encompasses all actions. It encompasses all sayings. It encompasses noble manners. And that's the beauty of the Quran Kareem. When the Quran Kareem, or rather the Arabic language, you know, an alim said it so beautifully, that Arabic language was the most beautiful language that Allah chose to define Islam. That means, if you want to understand Islam, you'll have to understand the Arabic language to understand Islam. And what is meant here is that many a times there are certain words in the Arabic language that don't have one complete, total, comprehensive translation of it in any other language. And the Arabic language is such that in one word, it encompasses such beautiful meanings that Allah had chosen the language, Arabic language, to define the deen of Islam. And in this ayah where Allah says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in ma'roof, we generally translate this as kindness. But here the word ma'roof includes and encompasses every action of ours, every saying of ours, every noble manners of ours. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of people in the way he treated his wives. How can this not be the case when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who said, the best among you are those who are the best in treating their wives. Indeed, I am the best in treating my wives. So when Rasulullah was instructed in the Quran Kareem, and the entire ummah has been instructed in the Quran Kareem, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, live with them in kindness, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best example of this. He was the best of people in the way he treated his wives with kindness. And how can this not be the case whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who said, the best among you are those who are the best in treating their wives. And then he said, indeed I am the best in treating my wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kind in his treatment. And this is evident in his biography. If we today were to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his treatment of his wives, many marital problems which we often hear about would be solved. Now, due to the increase in the rate of divorce, and Maulana, you spoke about that in the beginning.
See.
Due to the increase in the rate of divorce resulting from marital problems, we must look into the marital life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see how he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his marital life, which resulted in a harmonious, joyful life. And this is so beautiful, man, that generally we associate piety with strictness. We associate piety with hardness and harshness, and there's no time for fun and there's no time for joy. However, that is a total wrong concept of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his marital life, which resulted in a harmonious, joyful life. How did he treat his wife? Subhanallah. How did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overlook some of their mistakes? We must do so because Rasulullah is the best example for us to follow and emulate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, examples are such beautiful, and inshallah we will talk about this as we go along, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mora?
Ji, Mora.
We were mentioning about how his marital life is, right? And we mentioned that how harmonious it was. In today's time, we mentioned that normally people say that a pious life is a life, this is our concept of thinking that a person is full-time in a masjid, not speaking to anyone. However, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to spend time with his wife. Remember that we mentioned he had, the time when he passed away, he had 9 different wives. So, obviously, he had to socialize with them. In which way was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam socializing with them and they lived harmonious?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend time with his wives, and he used to socialize with them daily. Subhanallah. Imagine, here is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has this tremendous, immense responsibility of bringing a revolution in the Arabian Peninsula, changing their habits, and in fact, together with that, creating and preparing men that would take this message of Islam to the four corners of the world. And he did not have much time to do that. He only had 23 years to do that, to bring about this change. But in spite of that, in spite of this tremendous responsibility that he had on his shoulders, his relationship with his family members and his wives were not compromised. He would spend time with his wives and socialize with them daily. I know I've used the word socialize, and I'm putting emphasis on the word socialize. What we mean by that is not by social media, Mana. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed the Fajr prayer, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sit in the place he prayed, and he used to turn around and look, face the congregation, and then he used to remain in ibadah until the sun had risen. And then he used to perform his Ishraq Salah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go to his wives, one by one, to each one, greet them and supplicate for them, and ask them if they are okay, and if there is anything that he can do for them, and if there is anything that they require. Subhanallah. Imagine this, after the Fajr prayer, after seeing to his spiritual needs, the first thing that he went to every wife. He used to go to each wife one by one, greet them, make dua for them, and he would then ask them if they are okay, ask them of their welfare, ask them if they are in need of anything, and then he would stay in the house of the wife whose turn was on that day. Now notice here that the narration says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did this daily. And he also did this first thing in the morning. Subhanallah. His wives never felt that he was not around, because they saw him daily. Compare this with those who desert their wives for days and nights, rather for months on end. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrated, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had concluded the Asr prayer. Now, Ibn Abbas talks about the Fajr prayer. After the Fajr prayer, that was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had concluded the Asr prayer, the late noon prayer, he would enter the houses of his wives and he would now become intimate to them. Now, Allama Aini, may Allah be pleased with him, these are people, scholars of the past. Before even discussing this, I thought, you know, are these issues that we should talk about? But then when we look at all our pious predecessors and commentators of ahadith, they went into these. And surely our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, narrated these things so that we could learn from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was one of the reasons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's multiple marriages. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, or all the other wives, have also narrated this, so therefore there's nothing wrong about talking about these things. And then we find commentators, great scholars, have given beautiful commentaries about these incidents. Al-Aini, may Allah have mercy upon him, a great commentator of the ahadith, said, the term would become intimate to her. What does it mean? It means he would kiss them, he would hug them, he would not reach to the level of intercourse. That's what it means here. So after Asr, he used to go to his wives, he used to sit with them, he used to socialize with them, he used to become intimate with them, he used to hug them, he used to kiss them. Subhanallah, the Prophet of Allah, look at the level that he comes down to ensure the welfare of his wife. Ibn Hajar, another great commentator of the hadith, may Allah be pleased with him, said, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do in the early part of the morning was merely to greet, supplicate for, socialize with them and talk with them. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah be pleased with her, narrates, it was rare that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not pass by us, meaning his wives. He would socialize with one of us without reaching intercourse. He would go around until he reached the house of the one whose turn is that day, and then he is to spend the night at her house. Imam Qurtubi, rahimahumullah, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do so as a way of showing kindness to them. Imam Qurtubi says this was the way that Rasulullah showed kindness to his wives. This was the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did things comforting their hearts, so that when he left them and ended up at the house of the one whose turn it was that night, they would feel joy and comfort also. In other words, his beautiful, noble, pious mothers, wives, never felt that he was not around because they saw him daily. Again, I'm saying, compare this with those who desert their wives for days and nights, rather months. Some people spend hours with their friends daily and stay with them until late at night, so that by the time a man returns home, he should be completely exhausted. His family will have gone to sleep, and he would simply throw himself on the bed and fall into a deep sleep. Al-Afim Al-Abadi, another great scholar, says these narrations prove that it is permissible for a man who is married to more than one wife. Morana, I'm not advocating that, right? Otherwise, I'll be in trouble when I go home, eh? So Al-Athim Al-Abadi says, the narration proves that it is permissible for a man who is married to more than one wife to visit other than the wife whose turn it is for that day. It also proves that he may be intimate with her, kiss her, hug her, socialize with her. The narration reflects the kind manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he was indeed the best example in how a husband treats his wife. Maybe we can stop here, Morana, till we get back next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Jimana, it's...
And if there are any comments from our listeners, and from yourself, you can say that, and then we'll conclude, inshallah.
Now, Morana, what Morana is saying is exactly true. I mean, today's time, we see that how people... you know, if a man is always going, he visits another wife during the one wife's time, this is during the day. Remember that for a person to spend, it's the night that he belongs to the wife. If he has more than one wife, then the lady has the time of the man is for the night time, not during the day. And we see that in today's time, it's gone so out of hand that, you know, if the man just has to even give her a call, and if the other lady finds out about it, we will say all hell breaks loose. But for the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mentioned, mentioned that how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mention each wife every day, and this is an amazing point of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Mawlana, it seems you have a PhD in these Masail, because you're really talking a lot about it. Eh? I'm quite worried about you.
Ma, I think we can continue next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll speak to Mawlana again next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's episode, until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Baham, and my engineer, brother Ziad, who's smiling now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.